The flower celebration service is celebrated by almost all Unitarian Universalist congregations at some point in the late spring each year. The ritual was originally created by a man named Norbert Chopek, and some people have called Norbert Chopek our most recent true Unitarian martyr. Norbert Chopek was a Czechoslovakian, ex-Catholic, ex-Baptist, liberal religious heretic who eventually found his true calling as a Unitarian minister. He dreamt of a new religion, unheard of in his country, founded not on dogmas, but as he put it, on the divine spark which is in each person's own soul. His life is an inspiration, and I think adds depth and meaning to our ritual that we'll do later on. So I want to share his story with you. Chopek did not start out as a Unitarian. Having grown up in poverty, Chopek defied the wishes of his family and entered a Baptist seminary when he was 18 years old. He became a Bible salesman and a missionary in Vienna. In fact, he was, for a time, the Baptist's most successful evangelist. The Protestant religion was already regarded as subversive by the Austrian authorities, and the police raided Chopek's belongings more than once. As his ideas became progressively more liberal, even his Baptist colleagues and members of his own congregation turned on him and began to question his orthodoxy. In 1914, a friendly police commissioner tipped Chopek off that he was on the Austrian blacklist and suggested that he get out before he was taken to jail. Grateful for an offer to serve a small Baptist church in New York City, Chopek and his wife Maya and their 9 children left Bohemia for new shores. Once in the United States, Chopek's ideas flourished. He was bright and questioning and alert to intellectual and political issues, and he insisted that religion apply to people's lives. After just 5 years, he left the Baptist ministry. He concluded in his own diary, he wrote, "I cannot be a Baptist anymore, even in compromise. The fire of new ideas, new worlds, is burning inside of me." More than once, he was told that his extreme liberal views were probably Unitarian. After leaving the Baptist church, he spent a couple of years as a journalist. As the editor of various journals, Chopek continued to be outspoken in his anti-clericalism. Norbert and Maya and the kids found a new spiritual home at the Unitarian Church in Orange, New Jersey, where they became members in 1921. The minister of that church introduced them to the American Unitarian Association president, Samuel Eliot. Chopek convinced Eliot that Eastern Europe was hungry for the good news of liberal religion. With financial backing from the AUA, the family packed and moved back to Prague to start a Unitarian congregation. In just 20 years, that Prague church that he started became the largest Unitarian congregation in the world with over 3,000 members. Like our congregations today, the people in that church were spiritual refugees from many different backgrounds. Theologically, they formed a very liberal humanist community who tended to distrust religious language and ritual that reminded them of the churches that they had left. So there was no singing of hymns, there was no prayers, and instead of passing a collection plate, the members just paid an admission fee when they came in. But Norbert felt like the church needed some kind of symbolic ritual that would bind them together, in which everyone could participate without reservation. So he created what he called the Flower Festival, and he held the first Flower Festival service in 1923. Each person would bring a flower to the service and choose a different one to take home. The flower symbolized each member as a unique individual, choosing freely to join with one another, sharing their presence and their gifts. The exchanging of flowers symbolized the benefits of fellowship and of friendship. As the climate in Europe grew grim, the president of the AUA invited Norbert Chopek to come back to the United States as a minister at large. And he declined, choosing instead to minister to his own people in those terrible times. The Germans were moving in. The Gestapo was now closely monitoring Chopek, sitting in on his church services and taking notes on his sermons. At his 70th birthday party, Chopek's congregation gave him a radio. Now, it was a capital crime to listen to foreign broadcasts, but he did anyway. Every evening in secret, he would tune into the BBC and listen to news of the war. He shared what he learned with his congregation in the subtle form of parables and fables, things that the Czechs would understand, but the two Gestapo officers wouldn't be able to catch on to. And in this way, he was able to continue to preach against oppression and minister to his congregation. He did eventually get caught. He and his daughter were both arrested for listening to and spreading news of the war. His writings were seized, and Chopek was sent to Dresden for 11 months with charges of treason. Then, just as he was about to be released, the Czech resistance assassinated a chief local Nazi, and in retaliation, Hitler ordered Chopek sent off to Dachau with the fatal instructions on his papers, return unwanted. UU minister Richard Gilbert writes, while Chopek was in Dachau, his courage in the face of torture and starvation was a source of inspiration to his fellow prisoners. While in the camp, he led his companions in worship using the flower communion ceremony as the ritual. Each prisoner brought whatever flowers they could find in the camp to a service. And at the end, they took with them a different flower than the one that they had brought, symbolizing their sense of community, even there. After the war, survivors testified that the Unitarian minister could not have been sent to a place where he was more needed. His inspirational presence encouraged the others in the camp to endure. One survivor said in a letter, "If it hadn't been for Chopek, I probably wouldn't be alive now, nor would others who survived." Unfortunately, Norbert Chopek was executed by the Nazis on October 12, 1942. Just before his death, he wrote this prayer, reflecting on his own life and the state of his spirit. "It is worthwhile to live and fight courageously for sacred ideals. Oh, blow ye evil winds into my body's fire, my soul you'll never unravel. Even though disappointed 1,000 times or fallen in the fight and everything would worthless seem, I have lived amidst eternity. Be grateful, my soul, my life was worth living. He who pressed from all sides, he who was pressed from all sides, but remained victorious in spirit, is welcome in the chorus of heroes. He who overcame the fetters, giving wing to the mind, is entered into the golden age of the victorious." Norbert Chopek designed the flower festival ritual in part to celebrate the beauty and diversity within his own community. He wanted a spiritual celebration that would help them recognize and affirm the unique gifts that each person brought to the congregation. And we, right now, as a nation, are struggling in this area. We're grappling with truly recognizing and affirming the beauty of the racial and cultural and ethnic diversity that constitutes our country. There is tension between those who insist upon drawing boundaries, building walls, to divide us from them, and those who see the spiritual value of including everyone within our circle of love and compassion. This is the age-old tug of war between the fear of difference and the courage to let down our guard and approach differences with openness and curiosity. There are those who claim that there are truly no differences among all of the people of the earth. We're all the same. They say we all laugh and cry and bleed the same. And so they say that skin color doesn't matter. I've heard this idea coming from many people I care about, and I understand the basis of it. I know that it seems like it's coming from a higher spiritual or moral perspective. I've heard it tied back to Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream about black and brown people being judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. But to a person of color right now, living in America, if white people say we don't see color, that we're colorblind, we are effectively erasing their experiences. We are saying to people of color, I choose not to see the ways that the color of your skin affects your day-to-day lived experience of life. My friends, this willful ignorance is dangerous to our siblings of color. Their lives are on the line, and this is not hyperbole. Now more than ever, white people need to start noticing the ways that a person's skin color affects their lives and their experiences. If we are to actively participate in the undoing of racism and white supremacy in our nation, we need to have our eyes and our ears wide open to the experiences of oppression that are being expressed by our siblings of color. It is true that from a spiritual perspective, all human souls are the pure expression of divine energy, and each of us has that in common. I like to believe that the energy of unlimited awareness rests in the stillness of our beings and peeks out from behind each of our eyes. But these souls of ours are seated in bodies, and our human bodies, each of us has a wildly different experience of life, which shapes our sense of our power and our agency and informs our understanding of who we are in the world. The wide array of life experiences and unique expressions of our beings are actually exquisitely beautiful and worthy of seeing and celebrating. These flowers that we brought here this morning represent the unique set of attributes and experiences that each of us brings to this community. And like each of us, each flower is lovely, a masterpiece of complex creation, every one displaying its own distinct intricacies, subtleties of line and hue, texture and personality, beauty and blemishes. All take time and care to fully bloom, and all will fade too soon. May we break down the barriers of judgment that we hold within us, that divide us one from another. May we choose to see all people, especially people who have different life experiences than we do, with curiosity and humility and compassion. And by doing so, may we continue to shape this community and this world into one where all of our differences are cherished for the gifts that they truly are. May it be so. Amen. Blessed be.